Praise God. Morning, church. Morning, SP. And good morning also those who are listening online. So let's start in prayer. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. And we exalt your holy name. Your word, O God, is the water in the midst of the desert. Your word, O God, is like your provision of a highways underneath the ocean. Your word, O God, is the provision of manna. Your word, O God, is the comfort and protection of fire and clouds. So today, God, as we come before you, we pray for your Holy Spirit to let your word manifest its power and give us understanding of your heavenly words. We thank you, Father, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we're going to continue our studies and devotions on the seventh feast of the Lord, which is God are given to the nation of Israel, and we already gone through the overview, which is the seventh feast, the spring feast, and the fall, the autumn and fall feast, which is the, if you could memorize it in order, it is a feast of the Passover, it is a feast of unleavened bread, it is a feast of first fruit, it is a feast of the trumpet, it is a feast of, feast of atonement, and feast of tabernacle or Sukkot or booth. So now we are going to continue. We finished last Wednesday the feast of Passover. And now we are going to look on the feast of the unleavened bread. We are looking on the lens or the truth of this feast, not only on just how the Israelites observe physically, and we are also looking on this on the lens of what is the historical significance and what is the spiritual parallel or the fulfillment of this feast, and at the same time, what is the self or personal significance in our life even today. Now we understood and we learned that the feast of the Passover, the personal significance or the historical significance, is the freedom of the Israelites from the bondage of slavery in the land of Egypt, and the lamb is slain and blood applied. They have been delivered from this years of being bondaged and slavery in the hands of Egypt. The spiritual parallel of the feast of the Passover is the fulfillment in Jesus' death as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That we can read in the New Testament that how the Lord Jesus fulfilled this feast, that in exact time and days and celebration, Jesus fulfill this feast. That's why we understood in the overview that the first four feasts had been already fulfilled in the calendar events, and at the same time, the another three remaining feasts, which is the fall feast, is still coming into fulfillment in the coming age. Now, today we're going to look on the feast of the unleavened bread. Now we, as you can see, we have the two passages in Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23. I think we need to read that. Exodus chapter 12, 14 to 20. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your house, for whoever eats leaven from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. So both first and the last day of 7 days celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there is a holy convocation. Now, we define and we understood that the meaning of this feast and the holy convocation, it is the appointed feast, wherein all the people of Israel, nation of Israel, will come together in public and rehearse year after year after year throughout the generation as a lasting ordinance is that they need to observe these seven feasts. So it is in the first day, there's a holy convocation, and the first day is a removal of every leaven from their houses. Continue. No matter of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day through your generation as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at the evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leaven, the same person shall be cut off of the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leaven. In your dwelling place, you shall eat unleavened bread. So it is repeated in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6 to 8. Let me read, Pastor. Start from 4. They are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation, which shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord Passover. On the 20th day, so the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is connected. No. Passover is started on Friday, and then evening of Friday, 6 o'clock, is started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the calendar of the days in Israel is different from us. Their days is started at 6 o'clock in the evening. So that is why Friday is the Passover, and then 6 o'clock in the evening started the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Verse 6 on Leviticus chapter 23. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. So they are instructed to offer an offering made by fire in 7 days. The 7 day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. So why is it repeated? No, is it stated in Exodus chapter 12? And again, it is given in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6 to 8. So what is the difference? Now, the one that's the text in the Exodus was given to the people of Israel. They're still in the land of Egypt prior to the departure or prior to the deliverance of the people of Israel in Egypt. It is saying that the Lord our God is preparing and let the people of Israel celebrate the coming deliverance of the people of Israel from the slavery and bondage in the land of Egypt. Freedom from years of captivity, having force and hard labor day after day. God are telling them to remember this day and make it a memorial. For this is the day that you will see the hand of God delivered you and he heard your prayer and you're going to set free from the land of Egypt. That is given prior to the deliverance in going out to the land of Egypt. The text in Leviticus had been repeated when after 3 months traveling, going out on the land of Egypt, going to the Mount of Sinai. So they reached the Mount of Sinai and 3 months that can be seen in Exodus chapter 9 verse 1. And then 40 days Moses went up, God called Moses, went up to the mountain and God gave him the law on the top of the mountain. And after 40 days, he went down and then this is what God are telling to the people of Israel. And he again repeated this in Leviticus. So that's why Exodus is prior for the departure in Egypt. The text in Leviticus is wherein the exact law has been given to Moses and God let Moses tell it to the people of Israel. Now, the Passover starts in the 14th month of Nisan, which is during the Passover, God also changed the calendar. That in the feast of the Passover, God started the first month. God used that one as first month of the people of Israel. Passover started the 14th of Nisan. And the feast of the unleavened bread started from the 15th of the same month. And 7 days they have to observe it. Now, this feast of unleavened bread, they need to prepare and eat in haste. Now, I remember in Mark 15, 42 and 43, wherein the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think they are two of them, Joseph of Arimathea, and I think, I forgot the other one, the other name, it is in John 3. And then they are in haste. Joseph talked with Pilate and said, we need to go, to get the body of Jesus so that we need to bury it. Note that the Lord Jesus died at 3 o'clock. At the same time, in the Passover, that they need to slay the lamb, started on the 3 o'clock of the 14th day of Nisan. So they need to haste to remove the body of Christ in the cross so that they put it on the tomb, because it is about to start the feast of the unleavened bread on the 6 o'clock in the evening. So the same that they need to eat haste, they need to prepare in haste the unleavened bread. Now, let's see now what is the historical events or significance of the feast of the unleavened bread. We can read that one in Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 up to 40, wherein the last plague is the Passover, when the angel of death came, and then at the midnight, while the people of Israel is eating, enjoying the meal, eating the roasted lamb in their houses, then immediately a cry rang out on the city and the place of Egypt, because all the firstborn male cattle in prisoner captive had died because of the angel of death came of this tent of the last plague. And then this is the time when Pharaoh is sleeping and he was awakened and see that even his firstborn son has died and affected with this plague. And immediately goes out, and even the people of Egypt, and they said, people of Hebrews, go out on this place, in this nation, our place, or else we should all be died. So in haste, no, the Hebrew people need to immediately, that's why when we read on the Passover, the previous one, that they eat the unleavened bread with the cloak, with the belt, and with the sandals, and with the stick on the hands, ready to depart. Because at the moment and the time when these people of Egypt, they said to go, then they have to go immediately. In verse 39 of Exodus 12 said that, and they bake unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt. Could not wait, nor had prepared provision for themselves. They need to cook, you know, the unleavened bread, and the leavened bread is different. The unleavened bread is those flat bread, and the leavened bread is those with raised bread, that when you eat it, there's nothing inside of it, just like all air. That's a two different one. And the unleavened bread is easily to cook and easily to prepare, because the leavened bread, it takes time, the dough or the leaven take place on the dough before it penetrate the whole bread, and then before you cook it and raise. Where in the leavened bread, it's just beating up flour, flat, no yeast, and just put it on fire, and we cook in approximately 18 minutes. Now, in verse 42, it said in the same Exodus chapter 12, it is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord's solemn observance for the children of Israel throughout the generation. The historical significance of this feast of unleavened bread is Exodus in haste, or departing in Egypt in haste quickly. Because after that, as we read continually in Exodus chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, the armies of Egypt change their mind and then they pursue them. So they need to go in haste, because might probably change the mind of the Pharaoh. And that's what happened. That's why they need to go out in haste. This is one of the historical significance of Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, let's see now what is the spiritual parallel of this feast. We read it in Exodus chapter 12 that In the first day, you shall remove leaven from your house. Even when they start preparing the Passover, they already starting removing every leaven in their house, sweeping, getting, go to the kitchen in every place. They need this instruction to clean the house of every leaven in their inside their house. Now, let's see what is the significance of what is this leaven. Why God are instructed the people of Israel to remove every leaven in their house during the feast of the unleavened bread. Leaven or yeast is the fungus, ferments sugar, and it's used to cause dough to rise. That's what I said before. That when you go to the bakery and you can see that bread is raised up. Or increase in size, there is a yeast on it. If it is sometimes like the crackers that is so a bit solid, that is a bit, not, there's no yeast on it. An Eastern Bible commentary states that the use of the leaven was strictly forbidden in all offerings to the Lord made by fire. Because we have read that in the 7 days they have to offer burnt offering to the Lord during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You can see that in Leviticus chapter 2, Leviticus 7, Leviticus 8, and Numbers chapter 6. The leaven is secretly penetrating and diffusive power that is referred in 1 Corinthians 5:6. What is 1 Corinthians 5:6? This is the letter of Paul to Church of Corinthians. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Even just a small amount of leaven, and when you put it to the dough, it will affect the whole bread and the process of bread. And verse 7 said, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are fat and leaven. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven for malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now it is clear that the leaven is used in general sense as a type of sin. It is because of the properties of spreading and influencing everything around it. You get the church? It is because of these properties of this leaven of spreading and influencing everything around it that even a little bit can have a big impact. This is what sin can do to us. Even just a small sin, this is just a small sin. It is a white lie. It's still a lie that can affect your life, that can even affect the people around you, even your family, if we are committing sin. As Apostle Paul speaks, a state in speaking of the sin, the Corinthian allowed, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If we're going to be more specific, I would, attention specific that's mentioned to connection with leaven. There are 5 specific sins mentioned in the Bible which is connected to a leaven. 3 of them is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, and 2 of them is by Apostle Paul. Let's try to look quickly. First, in Matthew 16:6, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Said, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In Matthew 16:6, it doesn't say what exactly is this leaven is. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, is the Lord Jesus again said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. This is one of the sins, this is one of the leaven that we need to get rid of our life. Hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another. You're saying this truth and you are not living this truth. That is the hypocrisy. That is why the Pharisees, they're saying what the word of God is. They are trying to implement and apply it to the people of Israel, but they are not living it themselves. So this is the living of Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. Second, in Matthew 16:6 again, is the living of the Sadducees. Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. So what is this leaven of the Sadducees? They are the people that are not believing in the supernatural. They are not believing in the angels, and they are not believing in the resurrection. That's also seen in Luke chapter 20, verse 27 and 38. They were the spiritual skeptics of their age while maintaining a show of religion. They are religious people, but they are not believing in the natural power and the resurrection. Third, the Lord Jesus said in Mark 8:15, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of Herod." So what is this leaven of Herod? Herod, this is the desire for worldliness and power that can easily spread. Seeking signs and wonders in attempting to gain greater power. Herod is already in the position. He's already king. He's already having authority, but still, you know, desiring more power, attempting to gain more power for seeking signs and wonders for himself. Fourth is the living of legalism, which is Apostle Paul told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 and 9. "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leavened the whole lump." The church in Galatians started with Jesus plus nothing. But later on, the church of Galatians is they are Jesus plus the law and the observance of everything. For example, the circumcision, the righteous by works, and then they added one so that they will be saved. So that is the leaven of the legalism, that they need to observe this and do that in order for you to be acknowledged, in order for you to be saved, in order for you to be seen by God or being righteous before God. So they started Jesus plus nothing, and at the end, during your life, they said Jesus plus all the works and legalism and laws that they are observing. That is the leaven of legalism. Fifth is the leaven of immorality. 1 Corinthians 5:17 is actually reported there is immorality among you, and immorality of such kinds as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone of his father's wife clean out old leaven so that you may be a new lamp, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ Passover also has been sacrificed. The context of this well-known passage in Corinthians concerning leaven is the sexual immorality. Now, what is the fulfillment of the unleavened bread? Jesus is the unleavened bread. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 21 and John 2, before the start of the Passover, he entered Jerusalem and cleansed the temple. He removed all those robbers, removed those sellers that is making. He said, this is not a den of robbers. This is the temple of prayer. Jesus Christ cleansed all the leaven inside the temple of our God, our Father God, which should be a temple of prayer. Even in Hebrews chapter 4, he said he was tempted in every way, but he don't have sin. He did not sin. He is the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, and he is the perfect, unleavened bread of God, which is the fulfillment of this feast of the unleavened bread. Unleavened bread speaks of the total sinlessness of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that if Jesus had committed but one sin, then he could not have been the sacrifice of our sin. Because in the feast, he said it should be a unblemished. So if Jesus Christ sinned even just a small, if you can say, define small sin, he cannot be been a sacrifice for our sin. It was a lamb without defect that was sacrificed at the Passover. And it was bread without leaven that was eaten at the feast of the unleavened bread. When you think of all the different ways that person gets led into sin, it is incredible that our Savior lived his whole life without failing once. Because Jesus lived on earth is the same thing as we are. He was tempted in every way. Same as in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, that no temptation has seized us, but it's what is common to man. Same temptation that Jesus Christ has been experienced, but he remained sinless. But that's what he did. He remained sinless. The Bible record is clear on this. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. 1 John 3:5. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, did not Jesus tell us that he is true bread? He is the unleavened bread in whom we should feed. Why is it? We should be fed. So, what is our personal significance? Let's go fast. It speaks of our daily walk as a Christian. Sanctification or holiness walk as a Christian. We keep the feast spiritually by removing, through the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit, any leaven, wickedness, malice, and sin in our life. And we feed upon the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why do they need to eat in haste the unleavened bread? Because we should be in haste, in a hurry of removing every sin in our life, is coming to Christ and receive his salvation. Passover, Feast of the Passover, is our salvation, our being saved in the sins and death through the blood of the Lamb, But in the New Testament, it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread is the sanctification to the blood of Christ. Our daily walk should be, that's why 7 days. 7 days, when you say, in the number of the Bible, is fullness or completeness. That we should live fully cleansed by the blood of the Lamb in Christ Jesus. That is why we keep the feast today in spiritual sense. We walk in truth. We aren't perfect and are not expected to be, but we are to be honest about our condition before God and man, acknowledging that without Him, our Lord Jesus, we are nothing. We allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to work in our lives as we remain open and soft towards our Lord. We remain truthful before God, acknowledging our sin, leaven, knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It is significant to us that it is without Christ cleansing us, without the blood, unblemished, pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be cleansed and we cannot be live a holy life. That is why we need to continue, ask and plead as we walk our life unto God, living behind, removing every leaven and wickedness in our life, just as like Jesus has had no sin. So as called Karja, as you go in the time of worship, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. As we learn and understand the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus fulfilled it. Even in the time of his death, even in the time of his burial, he did not suffer decay because he had resurrected. Decaying was also one of the picture of having leaven, because the leaven, you know, penetrate the dough. But Jesus Christ in the grave, he did not suffer decay. It's a perfect picture that he is the unleavened, perfect unleavened bread of God. So just come before the Lord. Let's ask him, is there any leaven in our life that need to be removed right now? that you know, God, you are not pleased, that you are said that we need to remove and live a holy life, just like said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 and 7. Get rid of all malice and wickedness in our life. Let us worship. Wherever you are, God is there. just you and me. Allow the Holy Spirit to remove every guilt in your heart. Remove every sin as the Holy Spirit guide you and give you strength to repent. For the Lord said, get rid of every leaven, malice, wickedness, and sin. This is not the will of the Lord in your life. He was beaten down, crushed, just like the unleavened bread prepared. Pierce, make a hole in the leaven while it is on fire, so that it will penetrate the heat, just like Jesus had been pierced on her side, just for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sin. Come before the Lord. Trust the Lord. For apart from Jesus, we are nothing. We need Him. Let the power of His word and truth came alive, delivered you wherever you are, setting the captives free, protecting us from every wild scheme of the enemies because of the truth of the word of God. Come to Him. Come to Him. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Thank you, God, for this is the day of deliverances. Thank you, God, for this is the day of your salvation. Thank you, God, for this is the day of your purification. This is the day wherein, God, you are telling us to live a holy and sanctified life by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's go now to our prayer. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters in community that are suffering chemo cancer and undergoing chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Let us pray. Who are suffering illness and also need of the word of salvation, pray God that in this His purpose will carry out even in the midst of this sickness and illness, that His word, that His truth, that salvation that will come into their life. Let us pray. Suffering infirmities. Word of God has said that by His stripes you are healed. And even right now, if you are listening online or you are here, touch the body that is having infirmities and let the healing power, let the hand of God will lay hands on it and bring healing miracles in that infirmities in your body. Let's pray.
Let's also lift up those who are affected with COVID and those who are also in the front and medical workers, frontline and medical workers. Pray for covering and protection. Pray for God's hands to continue giving them strength and healing, come upon them, covering and protections both for those staff and their families as well. The love of Christ, the love of God continue to be poured out in their heart in serving those who are in sickness and in bed. Let us pray. So lift up those who are praying for the jobs. Oh, let's pray for the perfect timing of the Lord. Pray for provision. Pray for the faith to continue to rise. Pray for the patience. Pray for the revelations of Christ's word in the life while continue waiting and praying for the opportunity to open. Let us pray. Focus for today. Let's pray for the SPBJ by Pastor Hangzhu, SPSH by P. Ricky, and the Chong's family and a church in China. Let's continue to pray for God's power, God's covering and protection, Holy Spirit anointing, victory, and harvest of souls in that place. Let's pray. So pray for the board. Pray for P-Nate, Q-1, P-Sam, P-Nate, Q-1, Sue, Xiaoming, Jenny, Hangzhu, Amanda, Ong, Monica, and Monica. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for them. They may continue to hear the word of God and have the vision spirit. Pray for the covering and protection, the unity and spirit, wisdom and revelation of God. Regards to the, you know, mending, looking on those, what is needed in the church. Pray for the anointing and covering and protection upon them. Let's pray. So pray for the fellowship. Pray for the men's ministry, Monday lunchtime prayer. Pure Desire Women's Ministry, every Tuesday lunchtime prayer, Betrayal and Beyond, and support group. Pray for all those gathering, that God will show, that the Holy Spirit will lead them. It could be a God center, that God will use this as a platform to declare His goodness, His power, His salvation, the gospel of truth for every people that is coming in. Let's pray. Pray for SB 2.0. Pray for the building and resources, manufacturer and vision fund. Let's pray. For all the pregnant mother in our church, Fiona, Leslie, Dion, Haina, Vinci, and others. Let's lift up for the covering and protection of both the mother and the baby, good health among the with them, joy and peace with the parents, preparing body, soul, and spirit for the mom as the blessing, the baby coming out, praying for the provision, praying for the quick, and you know, painless delivery when the time comes. Let us pray. So also pray for the house church that we're meeting tonight. Pray for the Blue Pool, Tidy Fortress, Jaya, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, DST, and Westfield. Pray for God's glorifying fellowship, joy and peace, the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon them. Realization of how need of prayer, intercessions in the body of Christ and in their life personally. Pray, God, that, you know, just manifest the answer of prayer in their life as they go and discuss and share. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just speaking to each one of them and covering and protection in every household. May it be, Lord, in hybrid and face-to-face. Thank you for your mighty presence. Yes, God, let's pray. Father, we bless you, we honor you, and we lay at your feet all these prayers, God. We pray not because we are righteous. We lift up those prayers because of your righteousness that is in us by faith. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this burden to pray continually, not only in this time and hour, but as we continue living, carrying our daily tasks, maybe in our house or work. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for prompting us, for continue lifting up them in our prayers. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, continue giving us understanding, even in a short time. We allow Holy Spirit to give us revelation of the Word of God that we have received today. Some we haven't understand yet, Lord God, but we thank you, for you are God that answered and continue revealing the truth of your Word and understanding in our heart, in our spirit. Thank you for the feast, oh Lord God, this feast that you're giving us. But may it be, God, be received as the truth of your Word. Just allow the truth of your Word to just penetrate our life, our heart and spirit. So we thank you and we bless you, God. All glory and honor belongs to you alone, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless, church, and enjoy your prayer. See you again tomorrow.